launched us into this new series, Are We There Yet?, where we're taking a look back at where we've been this year as a church, some of the series we've worked our way through, reflecting on what it was that God has said to us and asking Him, is there something more you want to say, God? This morning, Bredo's down at Sea Change and he's bringing his word from last week to them. So I know that they'll have a great morning down there. So today, what I would like to do is to check in with you to see how you're going or how you're getting along with the other guy. Is this ringing any bells with anyone? Do you remember this series? You've got to go way back to February. And we did a series called The Other Guy, which was all about understanding who the Holy Spirit is and His role in our life. He's often the forgotten part of the Trinity, or He can be. I don't know if you remember Brett speaking about the Trinity as a three-leaf clover, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of them being forms of God. We have, you know, God expressed as our loving Father, God expressed through Jesus on earth, and God expressed through His Spirit. So that's what we're going to do today. I wonder if you've ever been lost in a new city. I was travelling recently with my mum and my sister, and I went to two cities, London and Paris, I'd never been to before. And we were relying on the good old Google Maps and the GPS system. I don't know how people really travelled before that, but that's what we were relying on. But a couple occasions, the GPS system let us down. And where the GPS said we actually weren't there. So we had to go old school and find one of those maps on the side of the road. Do you know the ones I mean that have the little red arrow? And the little red arrow says, you are here. Have you ever found yourself looking at one of those maps? And there's like a relief when you find the map and you find the arrow and you get the clarity. You're like, ah, right, I'm here. I know where I am now. But that relief can sometimes either be followed by one of two things. Either joy, because you realise you're only like minutes from the place you were trying to get to, or absolute despair when you realise you've gone 5K in the opposite direction, now you have to turn around and walk back the other way, right? So today, what I want us to do is find ourselves on the map. Find ourselves on the map of where we're at in our journey and relationship with the Holy Spirit. But I want to let you in on a little secret, a little thing that I've discovered. When it comes to our spiritual journey and our understanding relationship with the Holy Spirit, we never actually arrive. We never actually get there. You think sometimes that you're coming close to getting where you feel like God's leading you, and then all of a sudden He adds another leg to the trip. Certainly been my experience. But don't be dismayed, because it's not all bad news. You know what, I think that when it comes to our spiritual journey, there's not actually one there, but there's a thousand theres. And each one is another step in our journey of growing closer to God. So I want you to think about, what's my next there this morning when it comes to my relationship and my experience and my journey with the Holy Spirit. So let's pray and ask God to speak to us as I share with you this morning. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to pause, to take a look back in the rearview mirror of what you've spoken into us as a community this year, what you've been teaching us. And I pray as we do so, God, that you would help us to locate ourselves on that map in our journey with you, in our relationship with your Spirit. And Lord, I pray too that you would show us what our next there might be. It might be different for all of us, God, or you might be drawing us all along in a similar path. But I just pray, Father, that we would open our hearts this morning to hear you speak to us. We just come before you with surrendered hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to look back at three of the big ideas that we covered in this series. And the first one that Bredo began with was the role of the Holy Spirit. I mentioned before that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. And one of the first things that kind of Brett wanted us to grasp was that the Holy Spirit is in fact God. And he requires our worship and our surrender and our relationship just like Father God or Jesus. And in fact, Jesus said to his disciples, it's better that I go, because when I go, the Father will send his Spirit, the Counselor, the Helper. You know, and we can say, well, why would it have been better for Jesus to go and the Holy Spirit to come? And that was because it meant that the Holy Spirit would be with us always, that his Spirit would be amongst us, but also in us, everywhere we go, whatever we're doing, whatever we're facing, his Spirit is with us always. The second thing that Brett talked to us about when it comes to the role of the Spirit was the fact that the Holy Spirit was your friend, that he takes on all the human attributes of a person. He's described as a counselor, as a helper, as a guide, as someone that comes alongside you in your life. And one of the biggest things that he does as a friend is he speaks truth into our life. We read in the Bible that one of the Holy Spirit's role is to convict us of sin. But he doesn't do it in a way like an authoritarian, army figure or something like that. But he comes alongside as a good friend and says, you know what? There's more for you. Let me open your eyes to something that's holding you back. Let me help you to come into a place of greater freedom in that area so that you can be the best version of yourself that you can be. You know, the Holy Spirit wants freedom for us. What does that freedom mean? It means being free from things like toxic thinking and behaviors and habits that hold us back. Being free from the weight of our past mistakes or the opinions of others. Or fears and anxieties, worries and concerns. So that we can live in the full life that God has for us. I don't know if you remember that awkward moment we had when Brett preached this, when he called us all spectacular. Does anyone remember this? And he said, you know, do you think of yourself as spectacular? Because that's how God sees you and how he wants you to function. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps you to be your best version of yourself. And then he talked about the Holy Spirit being our source of power, that it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to live the life God calls us to. We can't do it on our own. And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to continue where Jesus left off. That song we sang earlier about doing greater things than he. That's what Jesus says to his disciples. You will do even greater things than me through the power of my Spirit. But that song and that truth really challenges me, if I'm honest. You know, because I get frustrated sometimes. I find myself saying, God, I want more. I want the greater things. I want to see your miraculous power. I want to pray for someone and see them get healed. And I want to be part of a revival like in the old days. And I want to hear your prophetic, I want to hear your audible voice. And I want to prophesy. And I want more of your Spirit. I want you to pour your Spirit into me. I want more. So when I read that passage this week, I've been going, God, what am I missing? Why isn't it happening? Is it because I don't have enough faith? It's because I don't pray enough? It's because I'm not spiritual enough? So I've been reflecting this week back on those first few chapters of Acts, in the book of Acts. And I was looking for an answer. God, why are we not seeing the greater things? And this is what I felt like God showed me and the deeper challenge he had for us in this area of the Holy Spirit today. He said to me, I think you've been more consumed with your experience of my Spirit than the purpose for which I sent it. Have a look in, if you want to, I'm going to read it to you, Acts 1 verse 8. And this is when all the disciples were coming together waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. And Jesus says to them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witness. That word stood out to me like it had never had before, that the purpose of his Spirit was that I would be a witness to who God is. If you keep reading in chapter 2, it then talks about that people were given different tongues and different languages. You know, and I often think about tongues as being a prayer language between me and God, but on this day it was all the surrounding people came up and went, oh, I can understand what you're saying, you're speaking my language. The tongues were actually a tool for the people to be a witness to those around them. And then it talks about God pouring out his spirit so all will prophesy and see vision and dream dreams and see miraculous signs. And right down the bottom in verse 21, why? So that more people would come to know him. The reason that God has put his presence in me is so that people who might never go looking for him might encounter him right here in my life. You know, I think I've been trying to become more spiritual, to go deeper with God, this way if you like, more time in worship, seeking his presence, seeking his gifts. But I think God wants our spirituality to become more natural, broader, across all of our life. Whether I'm here in church, I'm down the shops, I'm on the side of the soccer game, I'm at my kids' school, wherever I am, that the presence of God is in me and it's tangible. And people can encounter him through my life. Not more spiritual, but a more natural spirituality. Here's the question I'm grappling with for me right now. Am I failing to see the Holy Spirit move to the degree that I desire because I'm more focused on my experience than his purpose? Perhaps your next there in your relationship with the Holy Spirit is just that shift. A shift from your experience of him to his purpose. From deep to broad. And I was thinking about how what Bredo's done with the Cambodia soccer troop is such a great example of this. You know, if you don't know, Brett leads mission trips over to Cambodia, where there's one coming up in July that's family friendly for kids. But a couple of years ago, he started, instead of just taking all of us, he started to include his soccer team, many of them that didn't know God, or don't know God, into those trips. And he kind of brought his two worlds together. And they still do all the things that you would do on a mission trip. But people that may not ever go looking for God anywhere else get a chance to see him at work in the world and to encounter his presence. I love the way that he's gone broad and allowed people, invited people into that journey. The second area that we looked at in this series on the Holy Spirit was that the Holy Spirit can be a mystery. And Jen brought us a great word on that. She explored the mystery of the Holy Spirit, how we can sometimes feel confused or a little nervous or a little unsure around the idea and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The truth is, a deepening relationship with the Holy Spirit will always, always involve a step of faith. Being able to embrace a certain level of mystery or uncertainty. The surrendering of our questions and our need to figure it all out and know everything. We can have absolute certainty when it comes to the nature and character of God. But when it comes to the bigger picture of how he's moving and how his plans are unfolding, it can be really uncertain because we only catch a glimpse of his eternal plan. You know, I can think back to times when I really wanted God to move in my life. Think of a particular time when I was seeking God for healing. And I remember going for prayer and I was like, yep, I'm trusting God, I'm surrendered. And the people are praying for me and I'm like this. I wasn't surrendered, I was holding on to control. I wanted God to move. But every part of me was kind of like fearful and I don't know what this means and I don't understand everything about your power and why you heal sometimes and why you don't, and there was so much unknown that I was holding on. But as we want to go deeper with God, it's a journey of trust. We need to come to the point where we unclench our hands and say, your way, Lord. I came across this little text here from Pastor Rick Warren, and he says this: surrendering your life means following God's lead without knowing where he's sending you. Waiting for God's timing without knowing when it will come. Expecting a miracle without knowing how God will provide. Trusting God's purpose without understanding the circumstances. You know you surrender to God when you rely on God to work things out instead of trying to manipulate others, force your agenda and control the situation. You let go and you let God work. You don't always have to be in charge. And I love this bit. Instead of trying harder, you trust more. Surrender is hard work. In our case, it requires intense warfare against our self-centered and self-dependent nature. Perhaps for you, the next there in your journey is just that. Trusting him more, relying on yourself less. You know, it's certainly a path that I'm personally on. And learning how to let go and let God is a process that's difficult when you're a fairly self-reliant person. God's teaching me right now that it's not my job to create the moments, but to be present and responsive to the Spirit of God within the moments he's already at work in. A couple of weeks ago, I had an experience of this. We were getting ready to move into our unit and I was running around doing errands on my day off, you know, preparing to move. And one of the things that's happened with moving into the unit is the kids are sharing a room and I was having a little bit of mummy guilt over the fact that my 12-year-old's going into high school and sharing a room with his sister who's seven. And so I decided that I would get Foxtel Sports put on at the home because we were saving a bit in our budget. Of course, when I ran it past Troy, he was in full support as a surprise, right? Because it's been a dream of theirs to have Foxtel Sports. So I went into the Telstra store to talk to the guy about it and I wait for my number and I sit down and we start filling in the application and just chatting away and he says, oh, what do you do for work? And I said, oh, I'm a pastor. And he said, oh, I used to go to church, but I don't anymore. And right there in the middle of the Telstra shop for the next hour, actually I remember texting Troy and going, can you pick up the kids? I'm kind of having a moment. He began to tell me about his journey with God and his struggle with faith and about his family and why he didn't go to church anymore. And, you know, I'd spent all week ministering, worshipping God, seeking him. But I can tell you that moment in that Telstra store was the most tangible experience of God's presence in my week that week. And I didn't go in there looking for it. You know, often when I'm ministering in a formal capacity, I'm looking for the God moment. Where can I weave God into this conversation? How can I bring in how much he loves this person? And sometimes I'm so busy sort of looking for that, then I'm not listening or watching what God's already doing. So in this Telstra shop, because we were filling out this application, I had plenty of time just to sit while he typed and just kind of watch him and listen to God. And at one point he said to me, I can see why you're a pastor, you're a really good listener. He said, you haven't taken your eyes off me. And, you know, I wanted to correct all of his faulty theology in that moment. But you know what I sense God saying as I sat there? Don't do that. Just encourage him not to give up searching for me. And so I talked to him about my personal experience of God. And I encouraged him not to stop looking for God, even though he was disgruntled with church or family or other things, religious things. And then I left, and that was it. In John 5, Jesus says this in verse 19, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. You know, I think that God wants to show us what he's doing in the lives of people. He wants us to walk with him and to work with him in his rhythms of grace, to be in step with his spirit, to hold our own agenda or plan or ideas loosely and respond to him in the moments that we are in, wherever we are. Perhaps your next there is learning to do just that, to hold your own agenda lightly and to develop a greater sensitivity to his spirit. It can happen like that story in Telstra, but it can happen every day. I find so often just in parenting my kids, I'll be in a moment where I'm so frustrated with them over something and I just feel the Holy Spirit saying, something deeper going on here. Reach for it. Don't lose this moment. God always wants to show us what he's doing in the little things and the big things. And the challenge is to start to develop a sensitivity to his spirit and his direction in our lives. So we did the role. We did the mystery of the Holy Spirit. And then we kind of ended this series around the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I brought this message in the original series, and I talked about how everyone is given gifts by the Holy Spirit, free gifts deposited in our lives according to the part he's called us to play in his kingdom. But that it's actually our responsibility to develop, to pursue, and to activate the gifts he's given us. We can choose to remain passive when it comes to our gifts, or we can step into them and develop and grow in our gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. That little word, excel, reminds me of Brett's word, spectacular. And that it's not a sin to want to play big for God's kingdom, to want to excel in the gifts and the talents that God has given you in your life. We fear it in our culture, I think. We fear being full of ourselves or other people thinking we're big-noting ourselves. But when our motive is right, when our heart is to build up God's church, to build up people, to love people, then the desire to excel in our gifts is good because everybody benefits. Not just me, but all of you. Everybody benefits when I choose to excel in the gifts and develop the gifts that God has given me. So let me ask you, have you been engaged and active in your pursuit and development of the gifts that God has in your life this year? You know, I've loved this year watching so many of you activate your gifts and develop your gifts. You know, I've seen new life group leaders. I've seen the October preaching series was such a great example of that. New people joining the worship team, people serving in our kids' ministry. You know, it's not a small thing to make yourself vulnerable, to say, hey, I think God's got a grace on my life in this area, and I'm going to step out into it. And I'm going to try to grow and develop, even if that means I'm going to look clunky or awkward at the start. I realize it's going to take some growth, but I think that God is calling me to this. And I love it when people take the risk to do that. Because then the unique thing that God is doing in them starts to get released in our community. And God is doing something unique in every single different person. And when they don't step into it, something's missing. But when you choose to step into it, then we all start to get blessed by what God is doing in and through you. I know some of you probably feel like you've stretched in this area this year, you know, like you've really put yourself out there and you've trusted God and you've stepped out. But others of you might feel like, oh man, I'm still really just trying to work out what my gifts are or how to express them, or the season's been difficult. You know, it can be tempting for us to overcomplicate or over-spiritualize the spiritual gifts. And when we do that, we can actually get to the point where we don't use them, that it paralyzes us. I think that we need to remember to keep it simple. It's just about asking simple questions. What's God graced you for? And by that I mean, what is it that comes more easily to you than other people? What is it that people kind of encourage you about? Where or how do you have the most positive influence on the lives of the people around you? What is it you're doing when you feel most used or useful to other people? You know, when David DaCosta preached a few weeks back on the parable of the talents, I was really challenged, this one little throwaway line he said about what are you actively cultivating in your life? In 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul has this kind of wisdom for Timothy. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. I'd also say, don't let anyone look down on you because you feel old. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Now, I think Paul was saying this because it's really easy to neglect the gifts that God has given us. Why do we do that? You know, sometimes we feel like the gifts aren't compatible with our season. I just have all this to do right now and there's no space for that. But I want to challenge you to find an expression of your gift in your current season. It might not look the same. There was a long time that the only people that heard my messages were under the age of 5. Now I get a chance to be before an older audience, but it wasn't always like that. Sometimes we neglect the gift because of the time or the energy it's going to take. We have to commit to roster or to developing or growing, have to find some room. Sometimes it's because of the challenge that comes with stepping into a gift. You know, I remember talking to Shireen about this a few weeks ago when she preached, going, and when she worship leads, it's like, then you sort of challenge then about your own sense of, you know, inadequacy, and can you trust God, and, you know, is he going to turn up? And there's a whole lot more that comes with it when you step out in your gifts. As I was reflecting on all this passage again, I felt God challenging us deeper. I felt him saying, how about when you neglect the gifts in the lives of the people around you? I was like, wow. You know, as a leader, as a wife, as a mum, as a friend, am I calling out and encouraging the development of the gifts in the people around me? Or am I neglecting to do so? You know, we all get frustrated sometimes with people in our lives, and it's easy to relate to them or speak over their lives out of that frustration, particularly when it's, you know, your husband and your kids and you're in your house and it's stressful. But, you know, I think God's calling us to speak to people's potential, to what you see that he's deposited in their life. Instead of nagging them or speaking out of frustration, what would happen if we just started to speak into their potential? They might not even be showing like a small glimpse of it right now. But if you sense that God's doing something in their life, what if we just started to speak by faith into that? What if we started to awaken and call out God's Spirit within them to really pray for them? You know, it said that the elders laid hands on and fanned into flame. But I think that we can all begin to pray that someone's gifts would be fanned into flame, their uniqueness, what God's doing in their life. I think we're all responsible to call out the gifts in each other. and not to allow each other to neglect those gifts. You know, we were at the beach yesterday and Troy's decided to teach the kids to surf, and we were there for an hour, and for an hour he put a kid on a board, took them out, pushed them on a wave, they almost stood up, and repeat. And I was watching him do this, and as he did it, you know, each time Jess sort of got closer, he'd give him some correction, and, you know, he'd fall off again, and Troy'd be like, oh, so close! Not really, but so close! You know, because that's what we do. And he was trying to develop, I don't know if it's ever going to be a gift, but, you know, you get the analogy. He was putting in the time at a personal cost to himself. It wasn't that much fun, I'm sure. You know, to develop the gift in someone else. And are we prepared to do that for each other? You know, if you have a talent, if you have a gift, are you prepared to come alongside someone that wants to grow in that gift and give them some of your time and some of your wisdom and some of your encouragement so that they might rise up as well? I feel challenged about doing more of that, because when, you know, there was a moment on the ninth wave, I think, where Jesse kind of stood up for a couple of seconds and we were like, yes! It was so exciting. That's what you get to be a part of when you journey alongside someone else. You get to see them fall over 100 times and then stand up and do that thing that God has graced them for and called them to. And you get to share in that joy. Perhaps that's your next there, to start to speak into the lives of others in a way that calls out and empowers the unique gifts God has placed in them. So I want to encourage you this morning to really think about, where are you on the map? Where's your red arrow when it comes to your journey with the Holy Spirit? And what might God be calling you to? Where's your next there? How can you grow, continue to grow in your relationship with Him in 2017? Is it around going broader and being a greater witness? Is it around surrender and trust and becoming more sensitive to His Spirit? Or is it around not neglecting the gifts in yourself, or maybe in the people around you? Let's stand. I'll ask the band to come back up. And I just want to pray for you this morning. I just want to create some space for God to speak into you. Let's just take, we've got a couple of minutes before we need to end. I'm going to pray for you, and let's just take another song and worship just to allow God to stir your heart. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to look back in order to move forward. I thank you that there's always another there, that there's always something more that you have for us. I thank you, God, that you don't care if our next there is just one small step to the side, one small step along a bigger journey, but that you do care that we're progressing, that we're seeking you, seeking a deeper understanding and experience of you, and seeking to allow your Spirit to be a part of every part of our life. So I pray this morning, Lord, would you speak now? Would you speak into each person that's here? Whether they have never encountered your Spirit before, I pray, God, that you might touch them for the first time today. Or whether they feel a little bit distant, a little bit dry, a little bit confused. Father, I just pray that you'd meet them in that place. Oh God, for those that you want to really challenge to stretch as they prepare for a new year and a new season. Come, Holy Spirit, we invite you to move amongst us, to minister to us in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen.